the Ozarks back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, friends. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and t'other thing, and Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking to help brighten up your day on this sort of a gray Saturday. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. And thank you, Fred. And how are you, Fred, this fine frosty morning? Frosty my eye. I'm about cooked done to a turn. But the trouble is nobody wants to eat me. Here I am, cooked to a turn. Nobody wants to eat me. How did you spend the glorious Fourth, all of you? You know, I told you last Saturday that I forgot to say anything about this. One of our most glorious days in history. When we attain that priceless possession that is the most priceless possession on earth next to God, and that's freedom. Just think what freedom really means. If you can't believe it, go to the penitentiary for a few years. Not that I've been there, thank goodness, maybe I ought to be. But I have, as the old chap says, hear and tell about it. Pardon me. And think about this. Our penitentiaries are a big picnic holiday and a $1 million hotel compared with what our boys went through in the 6-foot cells in the Korean War. It makes me shudder. I don't want to think about it. Freedom, what a word, what a meaning. I hope we never lose it. I hope we never lose it. I'll never forget, a lot of people don't know, they don't even know. George Earl, when he was on the air one time, asked the fellow, this 4th of July, do you know what the 4th of July is? Stands for? I thought he'd just say that. He said, well, he believed it was the day Christ was born. Oh, my. Well, when we were youngsters and teenagers, little did we think of freedom or what it meant. The woods, the river, the sun, the moon, and the stars were ours. The fields, the pastures, the whole wide world, it seemed. And on the 4th, we just called it the 4th, don't you remember? Mm-hmm. We didn't say the 4th of what. Everybody looked forward the whole year to the 4th. You remember that, Fred? You never did say the 4th. What are you going to do on the 4th? We didn't say it. Never thought of saying what. Everybody looked forward to it. All we thought of was pink lemonade. The hamburgers, that is, when hamburgers hit the world around about 1895, which is when it was. And the circle swing. Oh, yes, the old circle swing. Now they call anything that resembles a circle swing, they call it a merry-go-round. Well, I guess the circle swing resembled the merry-go-round, really. But we never heard of such a word. We didn't know there was such a thing as a merry-go-round. The circle swing. I understand there are two left in the whole of the Ozarks, but I forget just exactly where they are. They're being preserved as relics. Round and round they went, pushed by a mule in the center, poor old mule, going round and round all day. He went slowly, but my, what it must have meant to go round and round all day long in the heat. And by the way, I read the other day that mules are vanishing for good. The faithful old mule that cleared our wilderness, tilled our land, made the crops, went to the wars, particularly the First World War, and did most of the hard battle hauling of the munitions. In 10 years, there will not be a mule in existence, so this piece said, which I read. He's a useless animal now. Well, I remember the first bow I ever had. I have to tell you about that. It was on the 4th of July. Seems like I've told you before, but I don't remember. That was the first bow I ever went anywhere with. My mother said, I was 14, I think. I could have been 13. I think it was 14, I don't know. My mother said finally that he could come and get me and take me to the picnic down in the river bottom. The slough, we called it. We were all there, all the families, with big spread out dinners. And from all the hills and valleys round about, my, I had a pretty white Swiss dress that I'll never forget. And it was made 2 weeks before the great day, and I thought the time to wear it would never come. I had a big pink ribbon sash, too. Just put that down in your little book. He came and we started out. Did ever a president start to his inauguration who felt bigger than Louis Moore did that morning? Dear Louis, he's dead now. To say nothing of how big I felt, he told me he had 75 cents. I think I told you this before about the 75 cents sometime in talking about the 4th of July, but I'll tell it again. It doesn't matter. But I want to tell you about this 75 cents. It seemed to me a fortune. How would we manage to get away with it? You could get two glasses of the pink lemonade for a nickel, thin and dishwatery, that might taste good, and two rides on the circle swing for a nickel. So we doled that out systematically, Louis and I did, and with a lot of putting our heads together about it all day long. And by the way, I had 15 cents to add to it. Put that in your little book also. My brother had a quarter. Kids simply don't know what, they didn't know, they don't nowadays know what money meant in those days. Little boys are running all over the grounds, even teenage boys, without a dime, without a nickel. The young folks now haven't the faintest idea. I remember that the next 4th, my brother got 75 cents, and I think the news went all around over the grounds among the girls. Our stepfather was a lawyer, but a lawyer in that day in that little town didn't mean much. He used to get $15 for a case, and if he got 25, it was a great heyday. It was a haul-in. Sometimes he got pay for making out papers and deeds and so forth. He got it in apples and turnips and ham meat. Think of that, ham meat, country ham. All the lawyers, they didn't make anything. There were 3 or 4 of them. My stepfather was a very fine lawyer, graduate of Oxford University in Ohio. And he had as little business in a small town like that as he had for 6 legs. A scholar of the old school and a cultured gentleman. But he came to the Ozark for his wife's health, as many did in that day. They were our nearest neighbors and dearest friends. His wife died. And later my own father died with tuberculosis after a long search for health over the West. And so he and my stepfather, Mr. Yoakum, were married some years after. He was a good father. And he tried to do the best by the children he loved, our stepfather did, and the man he loved, because he loved my father. Peace be to his memory. Well, back to our 4th picnic. I have to tell this because I so long remembered. My beau, Louis, bought an orange for a nickel. Now, oranges only came to our little town on Christmas and the 4th of July. Everything was hauled into the town clear from Springfield, which was our great Mecca then. Everything, the store, little stores had and all. And the Teamsters were 4 days on the road camping out at Riverside. They would haul ice for the 4th, and it melted all the way, no matter how hard they tried to keep it with blankets and sacks and one thing and another. And you can imagine that little bit of ice that got to the picnic to go in the lemonade. It was as precious as a dose of calomel to a chap with the shaking chills. Well, Louis, my beau, he peeled the orange carefully. He gave me the orange to eat, and he ate the peeling. When I told my daughter that, she said, "Mama, you didn't do that, did you? You didn't eat it." Well, I said, "Of course I ate it. He gave it to me. What else?" She said, "Well, you could have given him back half of it." I said, "Well," I said, "I didn't, and that's that, and I can't go back and fix it up now." I'm really not a selfish or piggish person at all, and so she couldn't believe I'd do a thing like that, but I did. I didn't know what else to do. Anyway, I ate the orange, and it was good. I don't know how he liked the peeling, but I remember it went right down him. Must have liked it. Well, I could tell you about the 4th of July picnics from here to hereafter. What a day they were. Someone was selected always to read the Declaration of Independence, and when I was 16, I got to read it. On the day at the gathering up on the platform, and I was just blown up to the clouds. I'll never forget Granny Barnes. She listened out in the crowd, bored to death with that Declaration of Independence. I guess she was. She couldn't understand it. She said to me after, "Honey, what was that there long cat's tail you was reading?" You know, they don't pay much attention to the cat's tail anymore nowadays, do they? Not even in the schools. Well, not 1/100th part enough American history is taught in our public schools, but I'll never forget Granny and the long cat's tail. She was the one who was left a widow and said her man was a sheriff and he got stabbed and killed. She said he was a fine-looking man and a gander for brains, too. She lived 50 years a widow. She said she never found nobody that could take the place of her man, and she just went without one. She said you better go without a man to the end of your born days and to get an ornery one that ain't worth the patching on his breeches. And was she dead right? Fred's listening. I hope he goes in with that. Well, I want to say hello. First, I want to thank you for the stamps. I'm still getting stamps. I got some at home, and I got some here today. It's perfectly wonderful the way we're coming on with these stamps. I want to say hello to the Berry Tour folks today, to whom I talked last Saturday night down at the hotel. They're in their big bus returning now. And I hope you folks had a grand trip that you'll never forget, and that everything went fine as the fiddle, and that we'll see you again someday. This is my fourth year to go down every Saturday night until November and welcome these Berry Tour people who go on this big tour over the Ozarks. May God keep you all and make you happy and prosperous. And as I say, do hurry back, as they say in the hamburger stands, hurry back. Come back and live with us. We're mighty peaceable folks. You know, I'm always telling you crazy things. I read in a magazine of some of the old antiquated laws in America that are still on the books, and you wouldn't believe it, they're still there. They just don't take them off. I'll read you two or three of them, and I'll try and read you some more later. A couple of hundred years ago or so, you know, they were made. Oh, everything. And they're right there on many books of state laws today. In North Carolina, it said it was against the law to sing out of tune. Now, how's that? I think everything on earth was against the law, again the law. Some legislator with a hole in his head must have heard somebody singing out of tune, so he went up to the big house and passed the law again, singing out of tune. And I don't much blame him. I surely don't. In Maryland, still on the books, it is against the law for a woman to rifle her husband's pockets while he's asleep. And that's okay, too. You know, theft is theft no matter how you commit it. I never did do it for women. I never stuck my hand in my husband's pockets in the night or any time and got a penny in my life. Well, of course, that's the way, some women, it's all the way they can get it. He'd say, what'd you do with that dime I gave you last week? Well, in the old Bay State of Massachusetts, it was against the law for a woman to appear in public with her face powdered or rouged. Boy, it was. Well, heaven help us women, for you know the old rhyme, little dabs of powder, little smears of paint make the nice old lady look like what she ain't. Well, sometime I'll hunt up some more of them. In closing, here is a poem dedicated to the 4th of July, although a bit late. This is my land, my glorious land. It's forest wealth, it's prairie sand. It's lakes of blue and green and gray, where weary people holiday. It's wide expanse of spacious plain with seas of green and golden grain, created by a mighty hand that gave to us this wondrous land. Free to worship, free to roam, how blessed are we who call this home. I'm leaving right now, Edith Craig. She's Edith Craig to me, Galena Gerd. I mean, I'm always talking about Edith, you know, Edie. She and I are bound for Galena to be at the high school alumni banquet there tonight. Edith was a graduate of the old hometown high school herself. So was I way back in 1901. I'm the oldest living graduate of the Galena High School. They didn't have graduation until about 3 years before I came along, as the schools were not then accredited. It is a joy to go back home. Joy. We used to sing, you know, wonder if there's anyone remembers me in my hometown. Do you want to say hello, Edith?
Hello, Galena. We're coming down.
Goodbye, and I'll be with you next Saturday, the Lord willing, the preacher.